You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney in for Hana Baba. The battle over the right to access People's Park in Berkeley began 50 years ago, but it never really ended. In 1969, California Governor Ronald Reagan sent 250 California Highway Patrol officers and local police to clear the park and put up a chain link fence. This sparked a violent riot known as Bloody Thursday. Decades later, the university plans to develop the space into housing for students as well as homeless people. But some of the people who use the park won't give it up without a fight. KALW's Holly J. McDeed reports on the past, present, and the future of People's Park.
There's no gate. There's no gate, man. There's no collector, so we are the people. Come on, this is the People's Park.
A reggae band is jamming on stage at People's Park in Berkeley by Telegraph Avenue. Only a few people are in the crowd, but the musicians don't take it personally.
So the people should be here. But anyway, all the people that are here today, I say, yo!
A few people are sound asleep on benches and on the grass. Others are hanging out in groups by the garden or underneath the trees. Roosevelt Stevens sits with a sketch pad.
Meth heads up there. The alcoholics over here. And you got the potheads here.
He tells me his park name is Obi-Wan Kenobi because people go to him for advice. He's been coming here since the 70s. He says this park is grittier than your average Berkeley park.
It has values, it has significance. Because this is the Mecca, the park, where people come for help.
People come here for a lot of reasons. The free food from Food Not Bombs, to use the restroom, to offer support for each other. And Michael Dowdy, he plays chess on the rickety picnic tables. Like a lot of people who use the park, Dowdy is homeless.
I think I found myself here because every place else you could feel the energy of people pushing you away. And this was the only place I was accepted.
But it may not stay this way. UC Berkeley plans to develop the park for housing. As many as 1,000 units for students and up to 125 for homeless people. But Dowdy thinks he's more likely to win the lottery than secure housing from the university. And he wants to keep his park.
This is the place where the people took a stand, and it's amazing that it's still here.
The university also had plans to develop this plot of land back in 1969. Back then, activist Michael Delacour says it was basically a mud hole. He invited people to the park to protest against the Vietnam War. Pistol
shots ring out in a bar room. We had rallies every weekend. It was a place where I could get across the message on the war. That was my main goal.
Soon, the Berkeley Bar Weekly dubbed the park a cultural, political freakout and rap center for the Western world. Students, activists, and families arrived with shovels, sod, and plants to turn that mud hole into a park.
Of the students that came here, they never had a shovel in their hand. The slogan we have, everybody gets a blister, well, that sort of says we're trying to involve everybody.
Then, less than a month later, on May 15th, 1969, police put up a fence around the entire park. And as you can hear in this archival footage, protesters moved to defend the space.
Don't let yourselves get arrested on felony. Go down there and take the park.
Someone opened up a fire hydrant and police fired tear gas. Protesters threw bottles and rocks back at them.
Sheriffs went up and got their weapons and started shooting.
They've got shotguns now and they're using them on people. Somebody was just shot with birdshot.
James Rector, a bystander, was shot by police and died days later. A man was blinded for life. Tom Dalzell, the author of The Battle for People's Park, says what became known as Bloody Thursday was the turning point because it was so violent. After that, Governor Ronald Reagan sent over 2,000 National Guard troops. A helicopter even dropped tear gas on the city.
This was a tactic developed for Vietnam that they tested in Berkeley. The tear gas drifted a couple miles north and south. Kids were sick from the tear gas, went in the hospitals.
Days later, 30,000 people took to the streets for the largest demonstration in Berkeley's history. Quaker leaders trained marchers to keep the peace. Protesters baked pot brownies for the troops.
It was an effort that brought together all kinds of people in Berkeley, the Quakers and pacifists and Marxists and Stalinists and street people, professors.
Dalzell says no one ever really won the fight for People's Park. and activists soon splintered into factions. The idealism of the 60s was replaced by the skepticism of the 70s and the greed of the 80s.
And Berkeley changed, not as much as the rest of the country, but Berkeley changed. And what we were fighting for became harder and harder to see. And what the park became was farther and farther from the original vision. I hope that it's not forgotten.
The university attempted to build on the land again. In 1991, protesters clashed with police for days over plans for volleyball courts. But UC Berkeley spokesperson Dan Mogiloff says this most recent plan to build housing is urgent.
The plan for housing at People's Park is part of a broader university initiative to address a really serious crisis. And I'm referring to a student housing crisis.
Mogiloff says the park is a good site for housing because it's close to campus and underused. Besides, he says, over the years, it's become a locus for crime. Police were called to the park over 10,000 times from 2013 to 2018.
There was a shooting there. There was a baby who was given methamphetamines. I mean, there have been a whole series of things that have happened in and around that park that don't exactly provide an incentive to those who want to visit it.
The university also plans to build a memorial to honor the park's history. Mogiloff says the park no longer represents the ideals of those who fought for it. He says the plan to build housing does.
If one were to wander into Berkeley and come across that park, you would have no idea what happened there 50 years ago. We actually want to change that. We want to make sure people understand what went on there. You can't do that today.
But if you do stumble into People's Park at just the right moment, you can still find acts of resistance. It's like an echo of the activists who fought for it 50 years ago. On a recent morning, members of the People's Park Committee take part in a rally at the park. The committee meets here every Sunday. They build benches, tend to the garden, and organize against the plans for development.
They won't be able to stop it just like they couldn't stop it in the 60s. We know.
Today, a member of the group, Aiden Hill, is at the mic.
If they keep trying to claim it, if they keep trying to push us out of it, we're going to fight back with everything we have.
The People's Park Committee is looking into applying for national landmark status to save the park. Meanwhile, this winter, UC Berkeley will open up a public comment period for feedback on their plan. And the Board of Regents will need to approve it before construction can begin. In Berkeley, for Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
Holly is KALW's justice reporter. Find more of her stories at KALW.org.